Welcome to episode 55 of the Pilot's Journey podcast, live from Camp Bacon in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the special Oshkosh AirVenture 2015 episode. I'm Stu Stevenson, a CFI and aircraft distributor in North Dallas.
I'm Mike Hart, private pilot, commercial pilot and aircraft owner based in Idaho Falls, Idaho.
And I'm Stuart Stoll, a.k.a. CFI Stu, a chief pilot, chief flight instructor out of North Dallas.
This time is the first time we've been together since Sloshkosh, Oshkosh 2010. And so even though we record frequently or sometimes infrequently together,
yes,
this is the first time we've been face-to-face in quite a while. So it's nice to see you guys.
Exactly.
We record infrequently, and we get together even more infrequently. So this is nice. It's special.
Well, I got here in an Extreme Decathlon flying from Dallas to Oshkosh and had to divert to Lincoln, Illinois because of some weather.
How long did that take?
It was about 5 hours total flying time. It wasn't bad at all.
Wow.
We had a real nice tailwind.
I was just going to say, that's a tailwind. There's no way you could get there this fast. I had a tailwind as well. I didn't have a tailwind coming from Kansas. I had a tailwind from Idaho to Kansas, and then that's what got me here. The rest of the way was from Kansas City area, 3.5 hours here, bright and early in the morning.
You brought your 180, not the Cub.
I brought the 180, and I with less gear than when we were at SloshCon.
That's right. You didn't bring the kitchen sink this time.
Bring the kitchen sink, and I didn't bring the little discs to go under the wheels because they were not needed this time.
Yes, that's great.
How did you get here, Stu?
Southwest Airlines. So, shout out to them. Thank you for giving me. Flew into Milwaukee and got a rental car. Came in with my lovely wife, Susan. So had her drive me.
Well, and I have a new term. You know, everyone calls them human mailing tubes. I heard a guy who's an old, fighter pilot. It's like, yeah, I had to take a smoker.
A smoker?
Don't know what that means, but I had to take a smoker.
I think that's back from the DC-3 days, or maybe the...
Probably the 707 days.
Yeah,
707.
Yeah, I think so. But it's like, I like that, though. I had to take a smoker.
So, Stuart, what have you been doing up here in Oshkosh this year?
I am working in the U.S. Sport Aircraft booth. We're selling airplanes. It's been really good so far. We've got we came here with two planes, and they'll probably be gone within 2 weeks once all the paperwork gets settled out.
That's great. Well, I saw when I stopped by to see you, and it was funny because, one of the big releases of the show is the Icon airplane, and that's kind of a lot of buzz about the Icon, but I saw the Icon people admiringly looking at the sport, at your cruiser, because, I don't know, I just saw them looking at it longingly, so I thought, oh, that's a good sign. It's not the other way around.
The Sport Cruiser is actually a reality. You can actually own one and fly it around.
True, true.
And it costs less than $250,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Also a nice thing.
But I guess not really take my word for it, because I guess I'm kind of in the Sport Cruiser pocket now, aren't I, Stuart?
Indeed you are. Tell everybody what you're doing now.
You have recruited me to be the new chief pilot for U.S. Sport Aircraft.
And we are excited to have you. We're trying to up the game a little bit more. We're opening 5 locations the next year. Mm-hmm. And we need someone to get some more standardization and recruiting great pilots. And you're the guy.
Out with the bad, in with the good, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, excellent. I hope I can be quite successful in that field for you. I'm looking forward to it.
And Mike, why are you here?
I'm here for all kinds of reasons. RAF is having an event, which actually is right now, with the air show, so we'll get a shuffle over there to represent for them. And they're sponsored by, or sponsored maybe is a little strong of a term, but basically Hartzell Props allowed RAF, or gave them the roof and a chance to kind of promote the RAF, and so it's their first venture here at Oshkosh. They've been at Sun and Fun a lot, and as a result, the RAF has a huge population of Florida people in its membership, so hopefully now we'll get more of Northern and the rest. I mean, Osh is such a huge deal, so that's one reason. Also here is a media person representing this podcast and also the plane owner, or aircraft owners podcast, so, and then it's always good for Aviation Safety Magazine to do as much as I can to research, and research means flying, so I get a chance to fly the Fisk approach and see what it's like when it's when Stuart and I did this in 2010, you know, it was kind of like old home week. You could just sit there and talk to the controllers all day long.
The controllers was like, look, don't even bother rocking your wings. Just stick copying, repeat your tile number, fly direct or whatever.
Yeah, they were just very chatty because it was like...
But NOTAM was straight out the window at that point.
Yeah, there was just nobody in the pattern because Vintage was the only place that was open and most people had already settled down and camped somewhere else and we were coming in mid-show, I think.
Yep.
So, anyway, this year... I got to experience the Fisk arrival in all its glory from the standpoint of, you know, I really kind of expected more planes earlier on as I was coming in. I was watching ADS-B and I didn't see too many. I saw mostly airliners taking off from Minneapolis. But once I got coming up on Ripon, it's like, oh boy, look at all these planes. There's all kinds of planes. But, you know, there was a gap I could see. There was one plane and then two planes. And it's like, okay, I think there's a half mile in trail between those two. And that there's a 1 mile, so I can shoot the gap in between. I didn't have to adjust airspeed. I just had to slide in. And then a guy in front of me in a Bonanza, as you read in the arrival procedure and as also stated in the Addis, if you have to do S-turns to stay... you know, 100 or a half mile in trail, then break it off and come back in. So a guy in front of me broke off, and that gave me more room, and so that kind of made me a made man for to make it into Fisk. And the one thing that happened in Fisk, and this is a great reason to read the NOTAM, is the guy actually told me, take the Fisk. Follow Fisk Road to runway 36, monitor tower on 118.5, which is actually the 27 tower. So I ignored his advice you could tell there's no way I could correct him because he was then immediately on to three more airplanes, you know, and so it's like.
So you decided to trust the NOTAM.
Yeah, I trusted the NOTAM, and then it was when I got on. Was called out by tower, told to land on the purple dot. Uh-huh. So that was kind of.
Did you nail it?
It was not a pretty landing because, you know, I was really. It was one of those things where it's like, really, you want me to land on the purple dot? Because I can land at the threshold, you know, I'm so early, you know, but he was like, purple dot, please. So I put in a little more power and held it off. But then it's like when I got on the purple dot, I put it down for a wheel landing and, of course, bounced. And then came back up.
But so you hit the dot.
But that was hit the dot.
You're blaming your new tires on that, though, right?
You know, I can't blame anything but me. But I wanted to touch purple. I wanted purple paint on my tires. But I got it. But I got a second touchdown, and I think maybe even a third.
Nice.
But at the same time, it was great. And then when I was coming in on the rival, actually, they were said the field was closed for twins. There's no more room in the inn if you were a twin. So that told me that obviously they're filling up. And when I got in, I was taxied down Air Coop Row and parked at the very, very end where it really isn't a parking spot, but they made a camping parking spot for me. So they're basically filling up the ends of every row. Normally it's one line of airplanes on either side, but now they're filled the ends up. And then when Jeb came in
Jeb Burnside
came in in the evening that same day, and they sent him. There's apparently where I am is called Point Magoo, where the next one point down they call Fond du Lac, and he's somewhere south of Minneapolis. I don't know. It's maybe even Alabama. It's a way south of the field. It's a long, long way. I want to go see his plane, but it'll apparently be a pretty substantial walk. But he's camping here, so.
Yes, he's in Camp Bacon this year, Him and Jack, I believe, Jack.
But yeah, so it was a lot of fun to do a busy arrival, and I was glad I did the one with you 5 years ago.
Yep.
My experience as a pilot was I was a little more intimidated then. I didn't had as much flying under my belt even then. And this time, far, far less intimidating. In fact, it's like, oh gosh, this is really not as, it's really, really, really easy because again, just, if you can't make it behind it, you can see another airplane, you get behind them. If you can't make it a half mile, break off and find another and do it again. It's really straightforward.
Yes.
You're just doing a 360 in a pattern, but the pattern just keeps emptying of airplanes in a sense, because they keep moving out. New ones come in to replace them, but eventually you're going to find a hole.
Well, right now we have the, if you're probably hearing in the background, the air show has started today. There has been an Airbus 350 demo here while we were recording, followed from some acro airplanes. But now it looks like Warbirds is about to start, so may hear some Warbirds here coming up soon.
That, and we've had a racetrack pattern from the Goodyear dirigible that's been running over our heads here periodically.
Well, and then this morning, one of the things that I with Scoffrey Jet, Jeff Ward, we had a meetup at 7 in the morning. We went out there with the Ford Tri-Motor. So our goal was to get a Tri-Motor ride, which indeed we did. But right after, as we were getting our pre-flight brief as to what to do, there was an accident on the field and closed the airport down. So we were waiting for him to clear. We're looking at watching Twitter to see what the scoop was. And by the time the podcast airs, I'm sure all the details of what really happened. So rather than report what we think happened, I'm just going to leave you. By the time anybody hears this, they will know the full rundown of what happened. So I'm just going to let that ride.
It is factual that there were all survivors and minor injuries. So at least we know that, and that's what's important. So.
Well, the fact that the parking was full for twins and even filling up rapidly for the singles means that we've got a good crowd here this year.
Yeah, and I actually think I think it filled up to the point where they were turning planes away, but I don't know if it's still that full, because there were a lot of departures. It's interesting to see while we were taxiing out, when the airport opened back up, we were in the Ford Tri-Motor taxiing back out, but it was interesting to see what a constipated airport looks like when you have a lot of people backed up and waiting, and then as soon as the big flush occurs, by gosh, it was a fascinating taxi conga line, because behind the Tri-Motor was a V-tail Bonanza. Behind that was a Citation. Behind that was a Mustang. Which is you don't see a taxiway clogged with airplanes like that very often.
An early sign that it was going to be a very crowded year for spectators was we have Larry Overstreet, who comes out and covers our campground for people weeks in advance to make sure that we have camping and a nice spot here at Camp Bacon. And when he arrived 2 weeks early, there was an RV already in our spot. And that's never happened before. So that was our first sign that it was going to be a really crowded year. And then the weather has been just absolutely amazing this week. So everyone and their mom is coming out.
It's definitely a good year to be here in terms of weather. The 80 temperatures in the 80s, evenings in the 60s.
Really nice light breeze too. It's been great out here. I've been really enjoying it. Back this time right now, back in Texas, they're reporting well over 100 degrees. When we get back, there's supposed to be 106 degrees. So Stu, we have that to look forward to.
We might stay a few extra days.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back with Mike.
I was just going to say, I hate to say it. Back in Idaho, it's actually better weather. It's in the 80s, maybe, and 50% humidity, maybe, and in the 50s at night.
This is why we don't get to see Mike very often. Right. Mike's living it up.
This is pretty good weather in Idaho, but we pay for it on the other half of the season.
Yes, that's right.
Summer is definitely the commodity season for Idaho.
Yes.
Well, it's been real obvious that there's a lot of people here this year that are visiting the show, and both from what we see in the booth and just walking on the grounds. But what I did notice is there's a lot fewer, well, not a lot fewer, there are fewer exhibitors than there have been in the past.
And somebody said it was the way EAA, the new change up in administration, decided to do a hard reboot on how the booths were dealt with. The pricing and structure of how booths, there's kind of it's settled into, everyone's comfortable, let's just keep it the way it is.
Yep.
And I think from what I heard, he decided, let's get a new baseline. And hard reboot means people who were really, really comfortable with the way it always has been maybe aren't willing to pay the prices or what it takes to get the spot they've always had. Now it's a more competitive. I don't know, but the one thing Stuart and I noticed was that it's wider spacing between the booths, makes them a little more comfortable. I hate to say it, when we were here in 2010,
super crowded.
It was hard to get through the vendor booths because.
But I enjoyed that.
I'm from Idaho. I'm people phobic. You know.
Yes,
If I want throngs of people, I could go to New York, and that's
this is true. Mike's more comfortable with bees and chickens.
The other thing is that not only are there fewer vendors, but the vendors that are here, most of them, I feel, have nothing to do with aviation. You get a lot of like home insulation and
in some of the hangars, it's about probably a half to a third are non-aviation.
Yeah.
When you get out in the outside exhibits, it's probably about 5 or 10%.
Yes, that's true. There's a lot of good aircraft exhibits outside, but in the hangars.
But the hangars is where I also noticed that there's a lot more space, and you know they have a few aircraft exhibits in the hangars, meaning that exhibitors aren't paying for that space.
Right, right.
So that new regime may have had an effect there, but I think it's positive. I mean, I can't think of anybody that I've seen before that's not here. I'm sure they're
What's interesting, this year I have kind of a shopping list of things I might want or I want to look at. In fact, in my left pocket I have the database for my new Garmin 430, and the right pocket I have the Terrain database. There's always a show deal on getting your databases updated and getting subscriptions to new services. So now that I have that equipment, there's no reason the time to get those subscriptions updated is when I can get a good deal on them.
Well,
so
I mean,
that's the thing is there's a lot of show deals for I'm in a mood. I hate to say it, I'm in the mood to shop because my mic might be listening, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the previous years, there's something like, you know, all the app software that I use or apparel that I use, they used to always be here and I could walk in and stay, but things like Shaden isn't here. And this is the first time in like the last 3 years that Coradine has been here, which I use for my logbook software. And Mike and I may or may not be on their website here coming up.
We gave him a fanboy shout out on video because we both use the software. I mean, it's great. Legitimately plugged it because I rely on it. And you as an instructor rely on it 10 times more than
I tried to get a show deal and they wouldn't offer me anything other than the public deal that they're promoting here. And I'm already a user, but I want to upgrade to the higher levels. Couldn't swing a special deal.
Well, they have a show deal. They have one now.
It's the same one they've had for the last month on their newsletter.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm going to subscribe to. Well, I didn't want to tell them that.
I got it.
Right. You always want to find out how good a deal and is that really the best deal you can give me? Come on. this is Oshkosh.
This deal right here, the 30% off while at the show. Is that the one?
$49 for both the iPad and iPhone version.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm trying to think. What was the other one that we were at?
We stopped by Coradine. We stopped by Brightline Bags.
Right, but no, it's the other software that's like a logbook.
Oh, we did
really
Cloud Ahoy.
Cloud Ahoy.
Because I love Cloud Ahoy, and Mike hadn't seen it since they started having a subscription service. Right. Which they still offer a free service. I want to throw that out there, but their subscription service seemed to turn Mike off, and we showed him some new features while we're there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny. It's not that it really turned me off, per se. What it amounts to is I used to always just log in, and it's like, log in, but you have to pay to do this to see the stuff that I used to log in to look at. So it's like, well, that's the stuff I used to look at. That's the only reason I really used the service was to look at the stuff that now is behind a paywall. And it's like, it wasn't, you know,
you didn't have the value for yourself.
I don't need to relive all my flights in a way that is, you know, to debrief them or anything, because a lot of them are kind of. But at the same time, I can see, you know, I have a couple different backcountry flights I want to do, and one of the features that I would subscribe and get on board if I do this, which is you can sync, you know, you take a GoPro video of your landing and sync that with your
flight track,
and then they do that. They go on YouTube and do that for you, and then you can play back your actual video and basically have a scrubber where you're scrubbing what it looks like in the flight track. Mm-hmm. Which it's like, okay, all right, that's a value proposition I can buy into. But at the same time, I don't have that video planned at this moment, so I don't need it. But that one got my attention, so it's kind of like, well, it's a subscription service. I will start the subscription when I have that need and make it work for me that way.
Have you seen anything here? Or have you been just too busy at the booth?
I've been real busy at the booth, but I have poked around a little bit at some of it. The only new product that really stood out to me, but it's more professional interest is Dynon announced their ADS-B out solution for $800. The gotcha is that you have to have a SkyView system to use it. So the older Dynon products or the non-Dynon products can't take advantage of it. But to me, that's a really good sign that ADS-B is coming down, and
right.
that over the next 6 months, year, certainly the next 5 years, we'll have $500-$600 solutions for everybody.
Well, rewiring, getting new avionics in the 180 just before coming to Osh, I now have a Garmin 430, so I stopped by Garmin's booth, and I think it was at the show, but recently they've announced their Garmin Connection platform.
Especially with 4Flight there.
That was the big news to me that made me happy is a couple things. One is the Garmin GDL 88, which is their ADS-B solution, which is pretty spendy, and so but I had it my wiring harness wired so it's plug and play, so I could just plug it in, and my install costs are down because it's already wired in. So that's an option that I have if I want to buy in. But now they have this connection system, which essentially is like a Stratus. Uh-huh. So it gives you AHARS, it gives you ADS-B, and then it also feeds into your iPad back and forth and pulls data off the... But probably the big kicker is the connection will... And it's not out yet, but 4Flight is partnered now with Garmin. So you do your whole flight plan on your iPad. If you're getting an IFR flight plan and they kick back something different than what you filed, then you get that back, and then you just send it to the 430, and you're cooking with gas. And so you can go through and brief your. When you get your clearance, you can read back, look at it on your iPad. If it all checks, because you sent it in, but then you get the received version, and then hit send, it goes to the 430. So, in one way, is one of the limitations or problems with 430 is if you're assigned Victor Airways, it's a pain for the buttonology to get those entered.
Yes.
This makes it where you enter that all completely off the iPad.
Gene Susie just started his routine here, so that was what that was. Sorry about that.
But so I like that solution. So that has me kind of intrigued, and I got a coupon for a show deal rebate. So if I decide to opt that direction, but that's the whole thing. One of the things I really like about Osh as an airplane owner is the fact that I can make some research. I also get coupons on rebates, get show deals. I can make some evaluations. I can talk to a lot of other pilots who have similar platforms and stuff.
That's one of the great things about even not being an aircraft owner is you come in, you can still do all of that.
That's true.
I mean, that's what I enjoy about Oshkosh. I love seeing all the new toys and playing with the new stuff.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, just right here at Camp Bacon, I bump into somebody who has the system already and can be talking about the ins and outs, just right away. I mean, you're immediately getting feedback. Whereas at home airport, maybe you don't have anywhere near as many pilots who have that.
You can't escape the hangar talk here. Goodyear blimp is flying directly over Camp Bacon.
Not a blimp. Right rigid airship.
Rigid airship. I keep it used to be a blimp, and then this is the new one that Zeppelin has made for Goodyear.
Well,
now. This is actually its second flight, from my understanding. It flew yesterday and it flew today, and I think it's got, it's a really low-hour airship, not a blimp.
Oh, I'm going to call it a blimp, and everybody's going to call it a blimp. They can't escape what its history is.
That's right.
Well, one thing I'm surprised, I haven't seen very many vendors touting iWatch applications.
Yes, and that's one of the primary reasons we went over to Coradyne is because I want them to make that stupid Fly Now feature on the Apple Watch. Wait, we got... People can't make it? No, not coming. I'm gonna catch them at the end of the episode. We'll get them to say something on the podcast. All right. Anyway, but yeah, Apple Watch. Apple Watch is there are not very many vendors on the Apple Watch, but what we do have on the Apple Watch is three apps that I have that I'm ready for reviewing, which is 4Flight, Nearest, which is just November Romeo Sierra Tango is how they spell it. Nearest. And
we now have Wing Walker.
I know, we got Wing Walkers going over right now. very distracting. That's that looks great up there, by the way.
I was gonna say it does. That would be a lot nice breeze.
Yes. And then another app, which the name escapes me right now. Might have to edit that. I'm gonna start that over again. As Gene Susie flies over. Gene Susie has distracted me to where I can't remember the name of the app. Just let it play. Just let it go. But what I found is that the apps work really well on the Apple Watch. But like ForeFlight, for instance, ForeFlight's really good at getting you weather and nearest airport really quick, Zulu time really quick on the glances feature. So most of these apps have both a glance feature where you can swipe up on your Apple Watch and immediately get information, or you can actually navigate to the app and pull up a more in-depth information, a more robust software for that app. So ForeFlight works really well there. Nearest works really well also in the sense that it will find you the nearest airport from where you are in your airplane and then give you a top of descent and time distance information to that airport. And so really nice interface. The interface on that app is really well done. But the main problem the Apple Watch has right now is the software is actually being run on your phone. The watch has to talk to your phone, and then the phone activates the app, and then your watch then produces it, which means loading the apps are really slow right now. And Apple has already announced that they're going to bring some of that, more of that code, more of that heavy work is going to be done directly on the watch now with the new Apple Watch operating system that's coming out here soon. So once that system comes out, I'm expecting that to be a lot better. But Cordyne says that they are working on an Apple Watch app with the Fly Now feature, which I'm really looking forward to for their Log 10 Pro. ForeFlight has more features coming out with their Apple Watch software that should be out by the next Apple Watch operating system patch that's coming out. So all in all, right now, it's interesting, it's fun, it's not fully practical, but yeah, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I think it's going to be really good here by the end of the year. I think the apps will be a lot
more practical. You mentioned you haven't seen very many Apple Watch apps or people promoting that, but the reality is I've seen an awful lot of people with Apple Watches.
Well, you're in Camp Bacon, too.
I was just going to say, I realize that this is Nerd Central, so therefore it's a little bit skewed.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's interesting. And I'm not going to say I've been skeptical of the Apple Watch. I really... I've just not been a watch person in general. I really love cell phones because it got me away from having to have a watch on my wrist. So I am kind of the opposite. I don't really want to see going back. But, riding out around with Adam Fast last night and him using the Apple Watch and seeing you use the Apple Watch, it's like, okay. You know, in fact, the very things, you know, where instead of people looking at their phone, and looking at their phone constantly, where you think, well, why are you looking at your phone? Shouldn't you be present in the moment? Well, you glance at your watch, and you're given just what you need off that. So you don't need to stare and sit there and look at it. It gives you what you are looking for and what you need.
Right. Where the Apple Watch succeeds is making your phone passive.
Right.
So you don't have to pull out your phone. So, for instance, a good feature for ForeFlight to have would be as you're nearing your destination airport, because it's reading ForeFlight on your phone and knows where you plan to, as you get within 10 miles or something, you should get the haptic descent feedback on your watch should alert you that you look down, and then your weather and your, you know, what runway they're landing and things like that should appear right on your watch. And to get that pre-landing brief, you could get that right on your watch as you come in. And that's where the watch excels. And these developers need to realize that's what's needed. That's where the money is in that area right there. Is that passive ability where you don't have to do anything. It just taps your wrist. You look. You get what you need, and then you're done.
I've been on the fence. I thought about buying one right when it was released. And decided no. I remember what happened with the iPhone 3Gs that are sitting around these days.
Right.
So I decided that I was going to stand back. But what convinced me that was the right decision is that Kent Shook, Pilot Kent from the Pilot Cast, He once was famous for saying that if it's shiny and has an Apple logo on it, he'll buy it. He's not wearing an Apple Watch today. And I talked to him about that a little bit, and he said he's waiting for Generation 2.
Right.
Yeah, Generation 2.
This is the proving ground, and the Generation 2 is probably going to be the one to buy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a use case where I see myself needing it, but I can be convinced. But at the same time, I have seen use cases of others where it definitely makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Right now, I get that you either love it or you hate it. Well, we're kind of wrapping up episode 55 now of the College Journey Podcast live at Camp Bacon. You any final words, any final thoughts, guys?
No, just thank you for EAA for giving us an opportunity to be here as press and also to facilitate such an amazing event. I mean, I know everyone keeps talking. Podcasts are what made me decide it was worth coming to Osh and coming to AirVenture and actually go to Sun and Fun. And it's funny, I'm not an air show person particularly, but at the same time, these events are really worth attending. There's so much aviation concentrated per square foot. It's impossible not to get a lot out of coming here. There's camaraderie, there's product, there's airplanes. Obviously, the whole time, and maybe the classic example was just the kinds of things that happen at Osh. I'm just parking my plane, I set up my tent, I'm walking to go get my badge, and I walk 10 feet from the Starship and Burt Rutan getting interviewed. So I just stopped and listened to that. And, you know, it's not often you get to be 10 feet from Burt Rutan and a Starship.
Well, I got to see Bob Hoover this morning. I mean, like, he's my hero, right? He's all of our heroes. And being able to see him and listen to him tell his stories, surrounded out in Warbird Alley with all the warbirds, and it's amazing. It's, you have to remind yourself, Fifi is flying over, a B-29,
right. Rod Machado, yeah. the Kings, I mean, everybody who's a name in aviation is here,
yep.
and not just here, but there's a good chance you'll just walk past or brush next to them or see them.
They're accessible. I mean, you can, you're there, and they enjoy being here just as much as we do, which is so impressive. You know, they're one of us. What about you, Stu?
I'm just happy to see all the friends. I mean, that's why I come back. It's a lot of work at the shows, but luckily a lot of people come by the booth and see me there, and I don't get to go around the Camp Bacon and various other parts of the show.
Because you're schmoozing at those corporate parties.
I really am.
Aircraft people.
And I really wish I was at Camp Bacon with friends, but you know, the corporate duties are calling me to some of this stuff.
Well, you can always still camp here, right? Pitch a tent, right?
I really, really
wish
I
could. We were up till 3 a.m. last night. You can do that, right?
Unfortunately, that doesn't work out with my new duties these days. But I really do love when I kind of meet with the old friends. And luckily, most of them tend to come by the booth at some point in time and say hi. And that's what makes it the most fun.
Great. Well, from the Pilot Journey Podcast gang, we will see you next year at Oshkosh.
And Mike, what do you always say?
Don't forget to enjoy the journey.
Thank you for listening to the Pilot's Journey podcast. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and experiences. You can reach us at our website at www.pilotsjourney.com or leave us a voicemail at 330-3-JOURNEY. That's 330-356-8763. You can also follow me as Pilot Stu, that's STU, on Twitter or mytransponder.com.
You can reach me on Twitter or mytransponder as CFI Stu, that's STEW, also at CFIStu.com.
And you can follow me on Twitter or mytransponder as ID Mike.
You can also follow us collectively on Twitter or Facebook as Pilot's Journey.
Please note that this podcast is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your own qualified flight instructor before attempting anything discussed in this podcast.
And remember to enjoy the journey.
Copyright 2015, Fully Stewed Productions.
And One Mic.
Find this and other great shows at the Aviation Media Network.
The Voices in Your Head.com.